On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them. They had taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, and not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciples also went in, the one who had arrived at a tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I want to start by wishing each and every one of you a very happy Easter. He is risen. He is truly risen. Today we are celebrating the most important day of the year in the life of the church. It is hard for us to imagine just how breathtaking that first announcement was that Christ is risen. Perhaps we have grown accustomed to hearing it over and over again, that to some degree, we forget just how unusual that message and how powerful it is. He is risen. In a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear that first Easter message as it was proclaimed by Peter himself. Peter proceeded to speak and he said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree." This message, in and of itself, is not earth-shattering. In its message, for we can all wrap our minds around this proclamation about Jesus. We have all seen and witnessed injustice of one form or another. It's not hard for us to believe or imagine that a good man, an innocent man, would be put to death in a terrible way. But then comes these next shocking words of Peter's proclamation. "This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the peoples, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." This is very hard to understand the gravity of. What does it mean for a man to be raised from the dead, and how is it possible? None of us can relate to this. We have never seen something like this ourselves. How and why should we believe? We believe because of the testimony of the witnesses, that of Peter and his successors, through over 2,000 years. And this message is still being witnessed by the church today. Our belief is an act of faith and an act of trust in Jesus and his witnesses who observed all these things. In our modern and sophisticated world, There are many who believe that religion is for the weak-minded. They think that people in the time of Jesus were uneducated and simple-minded, that they would believe anything. And so they refuse to believe themselves. But this is not the case. The disciples did not believe at first. They had their serious doubts. They didn't know what to make of the empty tomb and thought that someone had taken the body. They doubted, even though Jesus said to them repeatedly that he would die and rise from the dead. Even when the rest of the apostles believed, St. Thomas, for whom our church is named, refused to believe until he could put his hand into Christ's side and touch the nail marks in his hands. Peter, it says in today's gospel, upon entering the tomb, saw the burial cloths and went home amazed. Another translation of this same gospel perhaps got the translation a little closer to the true meaning. It says, Peter, seeing the burial cloths, went home full of surmise. That is, to suppose that something may be true without evidence to confirm it. This is what it means to have faith, to trust in the witness of the church for over 2,000 years of testimony, that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that this message changes everything and calls us to a newness of life, a life that becomes centered on the teachings of Jesus, whose credibility has been definitively established through his death and rising from the dead. Listen now again to the words of St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. It is because of Jesus' resurrection that we must seek those things that are above. Above what, you may ask? Above the things of this world, above the overstimulated, entertainment-obsessed, consumer-driven, self-centered, over-sensualized, popular culture of today that seeks happiness not in the things which are above, but in the things that are below. Here on earth, in trinkets and toys that do not bring true happiness. This society that we live in has become increasingly hostile to people of faith. Brothers and sisters, we are made for so much more. We were made for the infinite, for God, and his eternal love. Perhaps there are some of you here in the church this morning who have believed the empty promises of this world. Perhaps you were told that if only you made enough money, drove the right car, had the right job, lived in the right house, or had the right girlfriend or boyfriend, you would become happy. But you remain empty. You made more money than you need, and you still feel empty inside. You went out and bought that car of your dreams, started to date the right boyfriend or girlfriend, yet still you feel emptiness inside, your heart still aching for more. Perhaps you were told that religion is for the weak-minded, and that the only happiness was to be your own God, someone who lives by your own truths and answers to no one but yourself. And so you expel the one true God from your life, and now the house of cards that you call your own kingdom crumbles down around you. Then comes the panic attack as you realize that you are still empty, and you wonder what life is all about. Is this all that there is? Well, I have good news for you. It is good news for all of us. There is another way. Jesus is risen. He is truly risen. And this has made a change in the world for all of time. Jesus has broken the chains of death and blew open a breach in the wall and made a path for us to follow him to newness of life and of heaven. There is true happiness and peace in following Jesus, in seeking those things that are above, by living according to his word and his laws rather than our own. We can experience true peace by making Jesus truly first in our life and in our families. Easter is the joy of knowing that what was dead can be filled with new life, and this can be for you too. The message of Easter is that Jesus has conquered death, and now he invites us to follow him out of death and into his life. Peter and John, Mary Magdalene, and all the apostles proclaim to us that Jesus has been raised from the dead, where he now sits with God in heaven for all eternity. Each of us has to make that decision to believe or not to believe, to trust the witness of the church or not to trust. The choice is yours and mine to make, and may the Lord be with you all. Amen. I want to speak now to the children, and so I'd invite those children who are comfortable to come forward, maybe sit on the floor here in front.